and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, New Zealand's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcasts, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz. Well, what a strange old week this week was, with alert level shifts and many shows having to postpone or cancel once again. While grateful it was short-lived, it does bring home that need to have lots of plans A and B when creating events and theatre this year. So tonight, as we are limited to the numbers we can have in the studio, we are catching up on the phone with a fabulous author, a comedian, producers of two shows, and chatting all things music at the National Concerto Competition, plus reviewing what we've been seeing. It's a busy night. To start off, we have some music that's been sent to us all the way from across the world, from Berlin-based acoustic duo Flora Falls. They've just released their second single, Figments of Love, and after watching a mutual friend go through the trauma of leaving an emotionally abusive relationship, they asked the question, what makes a person stay? It features the talents of Dominique Fricott and Bria Robinson. Here is Flora Falls with Figments of Love.
Just how you love me. You call me twice, I don't have time to hear you say you left me. We were bathing, flickered off. Figments of love.
Figments of Love from Flora Falls. Isn't it cool, Emma, to have music sent to us all the way from Berlin to play?
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome.
And they're tuning in, listening to our podcast. And their bio that came through said, while Dominic was relocating to Europe to pursue a career with his band, band/folk roadshow, Bria was establishing herself as a solo singer-songwriter, playing intimate living room concerts across Europe, and they met on an open stage in Berlin early 2019. They would schedule the songwriting sessions that would then lay the groundwork for what soon became Flora Falls. So really awesome. Thank you, Bria, for sending it in, and we'll play another one of yours at the end of the show. Well, Emma, we're back here again. A funny old week.
Yeah, it's interesting reflecting on last Sunday.
Yes.
And, you know, realising that we were all sitting here a little bit shell-shocked, weren't we?
Yeah.
You know, so there was a strange feeling.
Yeah, if you didn't tune in, we're driven here as the news of going into Level 3 had happened, which meant all our guests in the studio were suddenly contemplating that their shows might not be going on this week. But luckily it was short-lived. Level 2, of course, restricting to 100 people with gaps, etc. So everyone doing that juggle again.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of cancellations, or should I say postponements, most of them. But it's great to hear the venues have been so fantastic with the performers as well. Like, I noticed that a lot of the Q Theatre events being moved to slightly later.
Yeah.
For example, Tuatara Collective, who were meant to be this week, are now April.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, being accommodating.
And Seed Theatre, I see, is still going ahead this week, but they're no longer in the vault, they're now in the loft, which allows them to still have the same kind of capacity at Level 2.
Now, I've been in rehearsal all day. Have I missed, because it wasn't it Sunday they were meant to update us on the
alert
level?
We were going to have an update too, but I'm wondering, is it actually Monday?
No.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
James is in the studio. He's our reviewer for some shows at the moment. James is nodding, so obviously you've listened to the news today, unlike us busy rehearsing.
Yeah. Kia ora, Stephen. Kia ora, Emma. Yeah, I believe we're waiting for Monday.
Monday, okay. Because it'll be nice if they can move that for people.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
All right, look, busy show. We're going to chat to you a little later on, James. We're going to bring on now Michael Lawrence, who is, I believe, the festival director of the 54th National Concerto Competition, with the grand final taking place in Christchurch on the 6th of March. Good evening, Michael.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Emma. Nice to be with you. I do like the name of your program, Kick Arts. I think that's a good one.
And look, you know, we're looking for a new theme song, so, you know, if you get a good winner that wants to create one for us, you know, we're in.
Oh, there's a thought. Yeah.
So tell us, you're obviously busy prepping and getting ready for this event on the 6th of March. What's it all about? Fill our listeners in.
You're right. We do find that a lot of people don't know what a concerto is. Quite simply, it's a composition for orchestra with a soloist, and sometimes two or three soloists, but for the purposes of the competition, it's really only one soloist. It could be a pianist, a violinist, a cellist, a flute player, and so on. And the composer writes it in such a way that the soloist gets highlighted. So, in other words, a 70-piece orchestra or 70 or 80-piece orchestra doesn't drown the poor soloist out.
Okay.
So it's cleverly arranged to highlight that person. Very popular with classical audiences. To this day, you'll often find, if you go to a classical concert, quite often in the first half will be a concerto.
Right. And this is so this is a competition, though, you've been working for quite a while, building up to this. This is the final you're heading towards.
Of course, we had our preliminaries back in December.
Right.
And we had 35 young people all competing. This is the year for instruments other than piano. We found that putting a piano and all the other instruments together meant there were so many people applying. We thought, right, let's have a piano year and let's have one for other orchestral instruments. So strings and brass and woodwind and percussion could all be in that, and the pianist had a separate year. And it worked quite well. But, yes, that happened early December, and from that we got six semi-finalists, and we ran the semi-final then. So it became the sort of greatest hits concert at the end of the preliminaries. And we got a good audience for that. And from that, three very fortunate young people played their hearts out and are now going to play. They're April Jew, Hyun Kim, and Catherine Kwok, and they're playing on March the 6th in the James Hay Theatre in the Town Hall here.
That is awesome. And you know, what's your take on the music in New Zealand, I guess the young people coming through, are we in good stead for the future? We're still getting the numbers
through
uni?
I think we got knocked around a little. Mm-hmm. Music teachers noticed a bit of a fall-off for a while in maybe commitment of students, and that some of them noticed groups were getting smaller, you know, in places like universities and schools. Sometimes there was, it's a little harder to get groups together. Some players weren't perhaps being quite as enthusiastic post-COVID, or rather, you know, during COVID.
Right.
And now I find it's coming really right, because I'm involved in a couple of secondary schools, and I've noticed that there's a better feeling about the place. People are saying, hey, this is really important, getting into my music, whether I'm a singer-songwriter or a classical person or a rock quest enthusiast, you know. They're coming into it again and realising, yep, there's life after COVID.
Mm. And what's your background, Michael? Tell us your journey.
Mostly classical. My parents were keen to get... I started at the age of six playing the piano. And at 6:30 in the morning, I'd be practicing vigorously away. I didn't always want to, but my dad made sure I did. So I guess I've got them to thank for that. But along the way, I started listening to other music, and I learnt how to play from pop chord sheets. It was a bit of a mystery for a while until I sorted it out. So I started learning quite a bit of rock and roll, or more Beatles. I became thoroughly infatuated with the Beatles. And then further on, I started experimenting with jazz. So I have a fairly checkered sort of past musically.
And a nice bit of variety, though.
Oh, true. It comes in handy, because when you're an accompanist, you get all sorts of people coming, asking to be accompanied for various reasons, and they could be solidly classical, or they could be the sort of person that has a very broad repertoire, and you've got to be able to handle that.
Mm. And what's your role in this competition?
I'm the chair of the competition. We have a small band of trustees, and they're a great bunch, because we have relatively short meetings, and everybody gets along, and we make quick decisions, and although I must say it's very hard at the moment in the current climate to get enough funds to keep going. Mm. So it's been hard. I will be very honest here. We haven't got as many sponsors, and some of the sponsors that are still sponsoring us sometimes say, look, yes, we can back you again, but only at 50%. Now, this is not good news to any treasurer of any organisation. And so, yeah, it is hard, but we're one of many musical organisations finding it tough going.
Yeah. Who are the judges for this competition?
The judges are both, all three are members of the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, great.
And Roger Brown, Robert Orr, and Malavika Gopal. Roger has recently retired as cellist, but it's really interesting. They've all been either, Roger had a first in the competition, so did Robert, and Malavika had a runner-up. So they've all got a history. And not only that, our conductor for the final, Ken Young, was also a finalist in the same year as Roger. So it's very much in-house, isn't it?
That's excellent. And audience can come along, be part of your finals?
Absolutely. We do hope for a walk-up crowd. We've noticed that some people don't enjoy the extra charges that happen when you use your credit card. And it seems that some of our Christchurch audience are quite canny, and they turn up on the night.
I think too, though, I think a lot of us have noticed that people are loath to pre-book because of potential cancellations, postponements, COVID lockdowns.
That's true. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, that is definitely a factor. But I'm told that, yes, I don't know if Christchurch is unusual in this, but we seem to have quite a large walk-up crowd as a percentage of the total take, which is a bit nerve-wracking for a promoter, I'm sure.
And since you're in Christchurch, any special plans for tomorrow, given that it's 10 years on tomorrow, of course?
I know. I am going to... I enjoyed today one of the concerts in the Archery Lawn in the Botanic Gardens, and that was great. It was the all-girl big band was playing, and there have been lots of these things going on leading up to this very, very important day. And certainly I'll be... I think I might pop into the city, because I've got a bit of time, and just stroll around and see what's going on.
It's a very special time for Canterbury.
It is, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, we wish you all the best for this competition's grand final. Where can people head online to track down tickets and things?
It is definitely Ticketek is handling this. What else can I tell you? Basically, get onto Ticketek and look for National Concerto Competition. And three young people will be absolutely delighted to have a full house in the James Hay Theatre.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, has been beautifully refurbished. It wasn't just rebuilt. It was rebuilt better with much better acoustics. So it'll be very interesting. The James Hay, of course, is smaller. They've actually dropped in 1,000 seats to 700. So I'll be really interested to see how the sound is in that new auditorium.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, that sounds fantastic. We wish you all the best, Michael. We'll be thinking of you tomorrow, and perhaps we can interview the winner after the event is done and dusted.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
It would be really lovely to sort of do a follow-up and see who took the championship away for number 54.
Absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant. All right, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Take care. See you later. Bye-bye.
kind of one of those songs you don't even need to introduce, really, do you? Good old Elton John.
I know. We just kind of all started randomly singing along at different times, didn't we?
Brilliant. Great chatting to Michael, and obviously all our guests tonight, bar our last one of the night, is by phone. So it's always a little bit different, but really interesting. It's good, you know, what he was saying, especially about the audiences coming in.
And I think it's really good, too, to remember that we do have phone guests, which means it allows us to, for example, talk to someone in Christchurch.
Yeah.
Great opportunity to remind people that we're not just an Auckland show. So if anyone around the country is doing arts, let us know that we can talk to you.
Yeah, we go out live here in Auckland on Planet FM, but our podcast can be listened anywhere around the world, even in Berlin.
Exactly.
Now, James, you went to a show last week just before lockdown. It was Melody Rachel's I Want to Be Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, it was so lucky to get in before everything started to be postponed.
Yeah, she must be pleased that was done.
Yeah, I got to Sunday and I heard the announcement, but looked back over the past week and I was kind of pleased with myself and everyone else that, you know, you'd got out there and seen it while you could.
Yeah. Now, this was in the upstairs of the Basement Theatre.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the loft is the queue. I can't remember what they call that one, the Basement.
Is that a loft as well? Or is it just Basement upstairs?
Studio or something?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, it was upstairs. So for audiences that didn't hear an interview or anything, how would you describe it? What was it all about?
Well, I suppose I went in knowing nothing about it apart from the title, which was I Want to Be Mark Wahlberg,
yep.
Which had me intrigued straight away. I thought it was like a really courageous piece of physical theatre.
It was a one-person show, wasn't it?
Yeah, yep. A solo woman show. So just Melody, lots of different music backing tracks and creative lighting. But it was her showing her journey through her gender. It was because it was a very clear structure, but to the audience we didn't know because it was all silent and physical. Mm. Sort of a couple of minutes later you'd kind of click and get the previous scene
right.
While getting the scene that you were in. And when I got to the end of it and walked down from the loft or the roof and down the very steep stairs, I kind of clicked and got it.
Right.
It was a really, really interesting piece of work.
And when we interviewed Emma, she talked a lot about, you know, using different art forms and that she loved the physicality of things. So do you think she pulled that side off well?
Oh, completely. Yeah, I could tell she was in her element in physical theatre.
Right.
And really quite a skilled performer communicating the story through physical theatre.
Interesting, though, because I didn't pick up from our interview that there was no talking.
No, neither did I. I mean, I went along and saw it as well and was really surprised by that, but that kind of worked as well. Yeah, she used the doors of the loft really well. That was her entrance and exit points in lots of dramatic different ways. But like you, I had interviewed, so I knew sort of where the story was coming from, but it would have taken a while for people to click in.
Yeah, and it was a very small space, so it was a very intimate performance. Like quite a few of the front row got stared out at different points, and you really felt like you were in it. I was really intrigued by it.
Good length?
Yeah, we sort of got to the end, we felt it was concluding, and it felt a comfortable way to end. A part of me wondered if it was this end of the first act. But it felt like a to-be-continued story,
right.
Which was a nice way to finish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she sort of joked in here in the studio. She was trying to piece it all together at the last minute. Okay. And we always ask our reviewers, rating out of 10, where would you put it on the scale? 10 being absolutely have to see it if it comes back, got to see it again. 5 being I thoroughly enjoyed it, but once was enough. And 1, get me out of here. Don't waste my money.
I'd put it as a safe 7.
Safe 7.
Yeah, it was nice. A piece of theatre that I'd never experienced before. And just because of that, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Brilliant.
And there's nothing like being upstairs in somewhere like the Basement. It was a little bit like us because we were upstairs in the loft, of course.
For Q.
And just that intimacy and the heat, though. Like, it's not a good time of the year to be in those kind of buildings, is it?
Well, actually, I was very lucky where I was sitting because the aircon was right behind me.
Right.
So I had the perfect sort of breeze to keep it nice and cool.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah.
You're very tall. Do you even fit into that space?
That comes, you got to get in early and you pick the best seat for your leg room. I've learned that from a couple of shows.
But in that building, it wouldn't only be your leg room, it would also be height.
Yeah, actually, I had to be careful not to lean back too quickly. But yeah, it was a really nice space.
Cool.
Brilliant. All right, thanks, James, and we'll send you to some more shows. We've got Maren out reviewing a couple of things over the next week. You were due, yourself and Nick were going to go and review Godzonia, but that has been sort of postponed until further notice, as far as we're aware at this stage. So watch this space. They are trying to piece it together, was the last email.
It's really great to see the Fringe and Pride are working so closely. Like we mentioned, the venue's doing a great job, but Fringe and Pride are doing a great job as well, aren't they? I love the Pride at the moment have been putting up every day what's happening with Pride, so that's a great way to check whether your show's been, that you're going to see, has been postponed or not, if you haven't heard. But obviously, you know, we're all getting email alerts and different things telling us date shifts, etc.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for festival organisers. I mean, it's a lot of work to have to pivot and reschedule and, don't envy anyone.
No, it's tough.
All right, here's a good old classic song while we get our next guest on the line to chat to you. We've got a fabulous author lined up next. It's our theme song. Hey, we're 12 months this week. This is 1 year since we took over the show.
I know, it was fantastic during the week to see the memories popping up from a year ago with our first show. And, of course, our first show we had guests such as Tuatara Collective were on our first show, Dr. Drama.
Taylor Rogers from
Taylor
Choice
Rogers,
of the Guardian, just graduated.
And Dr. Drama has just done his second show as part of The Fringe, of course, as well.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear that Jason from Tuatara Collective is getting better.
Nice.
So that's great.
Yeah, awesome. Now, who do we have on the line next?
We have Marco. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name because I might get it wrong. But hi, Marco.
Good evening, everybody.
Now, tell us, how do you pronounce your last name so we don't get it wrong?
My surname is Sonzoni.
Sonzoni. Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's absolutely fine.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about Quantum of Dante.
Quantum of Dante is a bit of a crazy project, which began in earnest when lockdown began, so the 25th of March 2020, which happens to be a big day in Italians' literature, because we celebrate the memory of our greatest poet, Dante Alighieri. So when I was locked down in Brooklyn, I was thinking of something different, quirky, and at the time I was in touch with the New Zealand comic artist, Ant Sang, who is the subject of the PhD dissertation of a student of mine. And all of a sudden, what do I see in the name Dante? I see the ant, A-N-T, and I decided I'm going to do something with it. So I did a bit of research. I have a long-standing passion in animals in literature. And before you know, I was playing with the ant colony optimization algorithm. So I threw the whole text of Divine Comedy in it. And what has come up is a very different way of reading the comedy through the ant. And the readers who will buy this book will have an object that is extremely serious in the way it honors Dante's own interest in animals, but also will enjoy these unexpected lenses, as it were. So this is how it came together, and like any dream, you need to find people that enable you to realize that dream, and I come across the genius of Ann Sang as an illustrator and the genius of Sally Greer as a publisher, and now we have the book, so we'll be launching it on the 25th of March, 1 year exactly after it was conceived.
Fantastic. Now, tell us a little bit, how many books prior to this have you penned, or is this a first or a tenth?
Well, you know, whether readers like it or not, as an academic, I'm sort of expected to write books of different kinds, but I've always liked the idea of adding something quirky or alternative to conventional scholarship. So this is the first time I actually take a very risky alternative avenue, as it were. So it is a first in a way, and it isn't because it comes into an area of scholarship that I've worked on for a number of years. I have studied Dante, I have written about Dante, I've collected translations of Dante. But for the first time, I decided to really take a very different path, if you like, from what I would be taking as a scholar. And yet, I've treated this alternative path in a very scholarly way. And there's a very interesting story, if you like, in English, at the end of the book where I'm explaining the project that should be of interest to New Zealand readers.
And because I was going to say, and looking at the book, it's got a very academic feel to it with its plain cover, which is very reminded me of a thesis or, you know, the way that the universities bind their thesis. And then so readers are probably could potentially get a bit of surprise when they turn the cover and find the illustrations.
Yeah, hopefully they will be surprised. I mean, you're absolutely right about the feel, and this is something I discussed with the publisher extensively. What we wanted to create was one of those, if you close your eyes and you think one of those very old medieval manuscripts, it could be a Bible, it could be a treaty that has got two columns in it, very small print, because the surprises always come in with a fine print, don't they? So we wanted to create that feel. So as a book, and the very fact that it's in Italian, you know, maybe some readers will say, why am I supposed to get this thing? But when I'm just trying to find a way not to give away the book. It's like, you know, when you talk about a film, you want to give a teaser, but you don't want to give it away. So when the readers will open the book, in its serious looks and it's feel as an academic, a scholarly, or sort of a biblical publication, that will be surprised by what's inside, by the way the text has been treated, and also by what they see on the margins. And if you can stomach it and get to the end, that will get a story by me that connects Dante to New Zealand in real and imaginative ways.
Fantastic. Sounds great. And now I see that you're, of course, at Victoria University. So when you said you were in lockdown in Brooklyn, we were talking about Brooklyn and Wellington, not Brooklyn in America.
No, absolutely. Brooklyn in Wellington, the best Brooklyn in the planet.
There we go. And what department are you,
you in Victoria? I'm in the School of Languages and Cultures. And I'm, of course, teaching Italian language and literature and culture and translation. So I'm part of the European languages. The name actually is European and Latin American Studies in the School of Languages and Cultures at Taringa Waka, Victoria University of Wellington.
Fantastic. So tell us, what's next on the cards? Like you've said, as an academic, you've got to produce these outputs, but what are you doing to keep yourself entertained?
I am going to continue exploring alternative ways where the scholarly and the creative come together. So at the moment, my eyes are set on a year from now, so February 2022, which will mark a very important literary anniversary, 100 years since the publication of James Joyce's Ulysses. So I'm trying to tempt Sally Greer of Beatnik into working with me again and producing another quirky edition, a New Zealand edition of Ulysses of one kind or another. And we have a very strong connection, even stronger connection than Dante, if you like, because James Joyce's sister lived, died, and is buried in New Zealand, where she worked for her whole life as a Sister of Mercy. So hopefully we'll start from that New Zealand collection and celebrate in an alternative way one of the masterpieces of world literature. So that's where my mind is right now.
Fantastic. That sounds great.
That's awesome. And so your Quantum of Dante is publishing on the 25th of March.
Yes.
It is a numbered limited edition, and it will be available through www.beatnikbooks.co.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, Karen, your publicist that we deal with, said you would be a very different person to interview with quite a different angle, and I would totally agree. That was absolutely awesome to hear.
You're very kind, and it was a pleasure to be talking to you tonight.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to talking to you in a year's time in February when you contact us to talk about your next book.
Well, let's then agree that we will come together again, this time for Quantum of Joyce.
Sounds great.
Okay.
All right, enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. Thanks, Marco.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Cool, take care. The wonderful Zoe Moon, our Wellington performer that likes to keep us informed with what she has going on, sent us her latest song to play this week. It's called Bubbles.
Yes, we do. Irresponsible, we got a work to do. We're not above it all, no. Though I like watching movies and cooking, we're overdue for bursting our bubble. You are good. Wash away the day. Help me to wash away, 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 away. You're my last hope. Help me to wash away the day. Am I gonna wash away? Is there much of me that's left? In the bathwater, oh, in the bathwater, oh. What if I dunk my head in your bathwater, oh, in your bathwater, oh. again. Oh, you're overdue for bursting our bubble. Just we two. So what if we dunk our heads in the bathwater? Oh, in the bathwater. Oh, maybe the real risk is the bathwater. Oh, it's the bathwater.
Wonderful Zoe Moon from Wellington with Bubbles. I never know with Zoe songs when they're quite going to end. She's got that beautiful sound that sort of just keeps going.
Yeah, it faded out and then it kind of hadn't faded out.
Yeah.
Maybe that was like the bubbles dispersing in the bath.
Yeah. Check it out. It's available now on all of New Zealand's usual platforms. Plus, it is up on YouTube. Now, speaking of bubbles, I have no segue whatsoever, but I
know.
Just thought,
I just wondered how you're going to segue to Steve Lyons with Bubbles, well, but know, maybe he could. Bubbles, no, let's ask him.
Bubbles, come on, Stephen. Steve. What's the segue from Bubbles to Stephen Lyons?
Speaking of bubbling up with joy, I'm just going to pop in.
Brilliant. I love it.
We knew you'd be able to do it. Now,
seamless.
Our reviewer, Stephen, would like to know what shirt you're wearing tonight because he's always impressed with your shirts.
Oh, I am. I'm in a rare moment of wearing a T-shirt. Wearing a T-shirt from a place called Ray Gun, which is a wonderful political T-shirt printing place in Illinois.
Oh,
and I actually have one of their offcuts, which I love because it's when they test out the screens, they just scan. So it's got about 12 different prints on it. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I got quite nervous then when you said, Stephen, that you weren't in a dress shirt, but you've saved it. You've brought it back, so thank you very much for that.
Normally I do dress up for my radio interviews, but
I was a little concerned when Emma started asking that question, realising that we've called you at home. I mean, you could have said anything. Anyway, enough about the Stephen Lyons fashion outlets. Tell us, you've got something very new and different on the lineup at the moment.
I'm very excited about this show. It's called Holistic Comedy, as in ha-ha-ha, and holistic, as in, ooh, we all feel good. And it's a mindful stand-up experience.
A mindful stand-up experience. So is it mindful for the performers or the audience or both?
Here's where the twist happens for all involved. So it's we have a wonderful wellness practitioner named Dov Phillips. He runs a practice called Inspiring Wellness, And so he's doing the first session. So he's doing a session, and it's the audience and the performers all together in a wellness session where basically we calm the mind, we soothe the soul, we all center and become present, and it feels great because meditation does. And then what happens is there's a short break, and then the performers jump up and do stand-up comedy to an audience that they are now connected with in a weirdly heightened manner.
Wow. Okay, we're all looking at each other in the studio going, we're kind of nodding our heads and going,
this is different.
It is. So part of the joy for me is that it's in the Auckland fringe. We're trying to disrupt. We're trying to create some new experiences. It's something I've never heard of before, so I wanted to experience it. I've heard of shows where people meditate and then there's comedy, but the idea of the performers actually being part of that and seeing how that affects their jokes, their timing, is really exciting to me. And I think that it's something where it's a guaranteed win. Dov knows exactly what he's doing. And we have some amazing performers. We got Marty Bright, who's an Australian comedian who's been over here since lockdown. Absolutely incredible. And a wonderful up-and-comer, Becky Umbers, who won the 2019 New Zealand Comedy Festival Best Debut. So, we're excited.
That's so cool.
So where can people find out more, come to see it, book tickets, that kind of stuff?
All of the things. You can buy tickets on trybooking.co.nz. You can find out all about the show on the Auckland Fringe website or track us down on Facebook. We'd love to have you coming along to the event. The show is at Inspiring Wellness, which is on Albert Street, which is just off Queen Street. It's Wednesday and Thursday, the 3rd and 4th of March.
And do you think that the audience members need to be a little bit prepared in the sense that do you expect that people are going to show up and be surprised by having to be involved?
Well, I mean, realistically, it's very clear if you bought a ticket, you know what you're buying a ticket to. So I don't think anyone's turning up and going, I thought I was going to, sit and just laugh straight away. I'll be there emceeing, so I'm very excited. So I'll do an introduction and let them know. And if anyone puts their hand up and goes, what's happening? Then I can definitely calm their nerves. Realistically, if you were expecting a night of hilarity, you're going to get it. It's going to be a little bit different at the start, but you're still going to have a really great time.
That's sounds cool. Fantastic.
James, that could be a different one for you to review.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, normally when you go to stand-up, you have a beer or a wine beforehand in the bar and go in and grab a seat and relax. But obviously, Stephen, this will be quite a different experience.
Is it a kombucha before you head in?
We will be. We are trying to track down some kombucha and some juice and some crackers for break time. It is. Part of it, too, was I agree with you. Like, I think that majority of stand-up comedy, we expect it in a bar setting, but the art form is not actually tied to that context. So I think it's really exciting for us to be able to try something different. It's something where if you are someone who possibly doesn't want to be around alcohol but would love to see some comedy, then this is a perfect chance to step away from that.
That's really cool. And what's up next for Mr. Lyons? What else have you got on coming up?
Oh, I have some shows at the Classic coming up. I'm still trying to get the Dice Show back up and running. There's always little projects bubbling away. This is the one that I'm very excited about because it's part of the Auckland Fringe. And then once the Fringe is over, that's when I take a breath out and go, and then look at, like, what's next. Probably buying more shirts.
Yes. Awesome to hear.
You just can't travel to get them at the moment.
I will be honest, that is one of the biggest frustrations. I have one shop in Chicago that I absolutely love, and every 4 years I like to do a sojourn over there to pick up ridiculous shirts for very cheap. And, it's heartbreaking.
You can always online shop.
Oh no! Then they charge you. You want to go? You want to get into the grimy, sneaky places where you've got all the weird ones. All right. The trick is, you want whatever shirts other people were like. That is too much I don't want to wear it. That's for me.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, we had a comedian on here talking about his walking tours of Auckland. You could be doing fashion walking, comedy fashion walking. Take a group through a mall for a shopping experience. I'd sign up for that.
I think we have vastly overstated my fashion ability.
You never know where it's going to go on Kick-Arts. Hey, Stephen, thank you for getting in touch. We'd be really curious to hear how this goes, so come back to us and let us know how this holistic show goes.
Thank you so much. Oh, and happy anniversary, 1 year. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thanks to great supporters like you supporting us. We appreciate it.
Oh, I love it, and I'm so grateful. And yeah, please, everyone, get out and see some shows in the Fringe. Just be wonderful. And thank you so much for having me on.
No worries at all.
Talk to you again soon. Take care.
Awesome. Thank you.
Derek Nor with Look Me in the Eyes, another great Kiwi band that sent their music through. We've had a lot of chill feeling coming through from our music this week.
It has. There's lots of what I could imagine sitting in a cafe too, or having a coffee or a quiet drink or something.
Thanks for chatting with us, Stephen. We all laughed when we got off air there about, you know, your shirts dominating the conversation of the night. But a great comedian and always a real good supporter of Kick Art. So
Definitely. Fantastic.
So someone snuck into the studio. We've got a real live person tonight amidst the phone calls.
Yeah. So we've got Elizabeth joining us from the Fringe Show Rehab.
Hi.
Welcome. Great to have you in here. Tell us, what's your show all about?
So our show is called Rehab. And basically it's about a group of people from various backgrounds all in a residential rehab trying to get clean and sober. And it is partly inspired by my own experience of 11 years sobriety and, you know, obviously being in active addiction prior to that. And, I guess the main intention behind the show is to show that addiction doesn't discriminate. Literally anyone can suffer from this, and explain a bit more about what that all means. Yeah.
Now that sounds a very serious topic to put into a comedy venue at the COVID Theatre.
Yeah.
So what angle are you coming from?
So basically, it's a dark comedy. So in rehab and in various recovery meetings, we spend a lot of time laughing, and really it's the relief that we get from talking about stuff that's super uncomfortable and quite tragic. But I think, I think the laughter often comes from being able to relate to that stuff, that, you know, that really like uncomfortable stuff that no one really talks about. But in a rehab setting, you're bearing your soul and you're being ripped apart, so you don't really have a choice. And I don't know, it's actually quite funny, and it's funny because it's relatable and it's part of the human experience, I think.
And I think a lot of writers do that quite often with shows. You think how you laugh and then you kind of get towards the end and suddenly you're crying.
Yeah.
And it's out of that laughter that it opens you up to being prepared to have that emotional shift.
Definitely. I mean, rehab is, it's an interesting hybrid in how we've created it. So it's actually unscripted.
Okay.
So the dialogue's all improvised. However, the characters have all been devised. So in our rehearsal process, I obviously shared my experience with the cast, but I had like a bunch of recovery members very kindly come in and also share their stories. So it's kind of been, in rehearsal we've kind of riffed and practiced our devised scenes, and the comedy's come out of that. Like there's been a huge focus on, creating a lot of honesty and authenticity through the characters, where the humour is kind of birthed out of, I think. Yeah.
So when it's not scripted, does that mean every night's slightly different?
Yeah, absolutely. Every night's completely different, yeah.
Oh.
So we have our established characters, and we have like a show run format for each show with a morning group or relationship group, etc. But yeah, who knows? Like every show it's completely, different, unpredictable.
And I suppose the audience probably has an impact on you too, depending on how many are in the audience, the feeling coming forward.
Definitely. The first couple of nights we had a lot of laughter from the audience, and I think, but some of the feedback I've got so far is that people have been like deeply affected by what we've been, you know, talking about and doing throughout the show. And I think it's kind of given people a lot to think about, even if they're not necessarily addicts or alcoholics. It's given them a chance to reflect on maybe their own behaviour or some of the themes that we talk about within therapy and rehab, you know, like that kind of makes people think as well, and reflect on themselves and maybe others they've known that have struggled and they haven't really understood much about maybe what addiction means. And we talk a lot about in the show how it's something that's kind of beyond the addict's bodily and mental control. Like it's kind of something that no one chooses to be an alcoholic or a drug addict when they're 10 years old, you know, like it's a condition that kind of surpasses our you know, I guess, yeah, level of control, like if someone was to have diabetes, etc.
And the thing is, too, with that, it's that idea of a lot of recovering addicts and that, you know, like don't go around going, I'm a recovering addict,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I suppose, too, being in the audience and realising, because we don't, you don't know who's, you know, you see all the talk about, you don't know who's standing next to you. And it's like people saying, you don't know their story. You don't know other people's stories.
Yeah.
So actually sitting there might help people realise, well, actually,
you can be proud of this too. Like, I think that's what we've, you know, has been a big mantra through this whole thing as well, is that, you know, often I think in my own experience being in recovery, and I talked about this in another interview, but it was around like just stuff that kind of seems quite trivial, like going on a date or whatever with like people that are not in recovery and telling them that I don't drink. And a lot of people are kind of fine with that. But then when they find out that you don't drink because you're a recovering alcoholic, then that, I don't know, I've found that creates a bit of panic in people, because they don't hear the word recovering and they just hear alcoholic. Yeah. And what does that mean? And I'll like, can I drink in front of you?
Yeah.
Or are you going to have a meltdown and pick up again? Or, you know, like being able to explain that recovery meetings is a place that a lot of us go to, and we do a lot of personal growth through that, and that, yeah, we can go on and live these great lives, whatever.
I just think a lot of, it's like anything, if you don't, I mean, I'm a celiac.
Yeah.
And people don't realise, they're like, but why can't you have a piece of cake?
Yeah.
And it's like, because I can't.
Yeah.
And even with alcoholism, I mean, my mum was an alcoholic, and people giving her gifts, and she was quite funny. Like, quite often she would come around and she would just hand me perfume, or she would hand me body creams and things that she had been given as gifts from people, instead of telling people, I can't actually have this because it's got alcohol in the ingredients.
Yeah,
you know, and I don't think we realise how many things can affect someone in recovery as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It sounds like you're challenging stereotypes through this performance. Would you say that's a large part of it?
Yes, absolutely. That's a really good point, actually. We are, and I think a lot of people in my experience have, you know, they might have an idea of an alcoholic or an addict to be sort of like a two-dimensional kind of person. And, you know, actually there's like lawyers and CEOs and artists and just all sorts of people.
High-functioning addicts.
High-functioning addicts, and addiction doesn't discriminate. And I think kind of taking the shame out of that, because there's a lot of people, you know, I've noticed out there that are kind of, exactly, high-functioning, and they're like, God, I don't want to go to rehab, or I don't want to admit that I'm an alcoholic or an addict, because what would people think of me? But it's like,
do we have enough support in New Zealand for people with addictions?
I mean, again, I can only speak from my own experience as a recovering person, but I think in big cities, yes, we do.
Right.
I think we do. I think in regions and smaller cities, it's a lot harder. When I went to rehab, there were people from smaller towns, and I think the prospect of them going back there was quite difficult. There's not many recovery meetings, and, you know, some of these towns, it's like on a weekly basis, or there's certainly not many rehabs there either. So I think, and I guess through the show, we're sort of trying to make inroads and challenging that sort of narrative around making it easier for everybody to maybe come into recovery and feel comfortable with going to meetings. And
well, there's a stereotype around rehabs as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Probably because of, you know, you think of that Sandra Bullock movie, you know, and things like that, where it's these Hollywood stars and how they're treated and how horrible
it is. You're cured
up
to 28 days and you go off, and it's just like, no, it's hilarious,
So, no, I mean, I think it's a great thing too.
Yeah.
And the Fringe Festival is definitely a really good place. It, like we heard before about, you know, the show's challenging those norms and being fringe and it being okay to do that.
Definitely. I think I would love to, and I'm in the process of actually making this show into a TV series. I've got some writers on board, and I think it would be great to, you know, like reach a wider audience as well. So, yeah.
And if you're an audience member who maybe hasn't had an experience with an addiction or it's been hidden from them in their childhood coming to your show, what do you think that experience will be like for them?
I think that they'll be able to hopefully connect to some of the characters and maybe, realise that they're not alone in their experience. Like if they had, like a parent or maybe an ex-partner or something that was an alcoholic, helping them understand that there's a lot of people out there that suffer from this and, it wasn't their fault either. Like they did nothing to contribute to it. And also that, if someone is struggling, you can't necessarily save them. They need to do that themselves, which is a huge part of it.
Now, your show was due to open, well, it did open last Thursday, but it kind of locked down, mucked up your dress rehearsals.
It did, yeah. So we actually had our final dress rehearsal on opening night. So the audience were very aware of that and they were supportive and fun.
That's cool.
And
feedback from the audience?
We've had some amazing feedback. On Friday night in particular, we had friends of mine that work in rehab saying that it was exactly like it is, which was really encouraging. And, friends of mine that know that I'm in recovery but don't know much about that whole rehab process said it was amazing to get some insight into that, and they felt like sort of quite enlightened. And then we even had a cast member said that an older man came up to her at the end and just sort of simply put his hand on her shoulder and just said thank you with tears in his eyes, and I just thought that was amazing. Like, who knows if he's in recovery or not. But it was just
And have you included within the show, is there something for, like James was saying, the people that have, that's one option, the people that arrive that it suddenly uncovers something for them?
How do they get support at the end of your show?
Support at the end or anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do a bit of an outro and talk about, places where you can find support. And also we've got programs. So within the program, I've got information for different meetings and also friends and family as well and where they
can
go. Yeah.
Great. And who's been helping you at the COVID with long form improv?
Wade Jackson has been an amazing support. Yeah, the artistic director. I wouldn't be doing the show if it wasn't for him. He sort of took a punt and has mentored me as a first time producer. And, let us use the venue and,
So shout out to COVID Theatre and shout out to Wade. Well done.
Definitely.
You mentioned, that support in those small towns. It sounds like a show that would be really good to tour with.
Yeah, we'd love to tour it, absolutely.
So Creative New Zealand, you need to come along, be in the audience next Thursday to Saturday.
It
sounds like it would reach out to those crowds.
I hope so. I mean, that's the aim, really. It's just trying to connect people and help them feel less isolated and bring this conversation into the mainstream.
And how much acting had you done prior to this journey of this particular show?
I did quite a few acting classes, which was a bit of a disaster because as you could imagine. In my early recovery, I did a few more years, went on and had my daughter, and I've, instead of going back to acting classes, I've chosen improv. So I'm kind of, a mishmash of both of those kind of disciplines.
Can I ask a personal question? How do you look after yourself then through this process? You're exposing your story, other people's stories. It's obviously bringing you back to a time in your life. How do you look after yourself?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a bit more full on than I actually anticipated.
I bet.
Yeah. I go to regular recovery meetings. I think I connect with other alcoholics and addicts in recovery because find that they relate to me best. I guess just the normal kind of mindful stuff, meditation, or music and, laughter.
11 years is a massive achievement.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Should be very proud.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And a daughter that I'm sure keeps your head on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of got no choice.
Yeah.
So where can people head for tickets if they want to come along?
Eventfinder. Yep. Have a look at Eventfinder. So hopefully we go to level one tomorrow so we can go to full house because we've only been able to go 50% with level two. But check out Eventfinder. It will say whether we've sold out or not, so that's the best place to start.
Fabulous. Yep. And it's Thursday to Saturday this week at the COVID Theatre.
Yes, at the COVID Theatre.
How many does the COVID host, the new one?
Full house we can host 86, I believe. Yep.
So. Yes, but it's the social distancing that makes them.
On level one, though, we'll be able to do that. So. Brilliant. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Our fingers and toes are crossed for you.
Thank you.
Good luck, and we look forward to seeing where this may go.
Thank you so much.
Creative New Zealand, pop along.
Yes.
In the middle, another good classic that we've got playing tonight. We found all the oldies, but goodies tonight, Emma.
Yeah, and not musical theatre.
No, it didn't feel like it tonight with our different mix of guests.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit off track.
It's been great.
Don't worry, I'm sure I can find a Frozen song. Now, look, a reminder that during these COVID-19 times that events can be cancelled or moved, so do keep an eye on the website of the promoter of the show or your ticket provider. They should be emailing you, so keep an eye out for that. Now, Wellington comic Dave Batten gets to celebrate his 30th birthday in true style, rolling in to headline a star-studded lineup at the Petone Club thanks to a brand-new portable wheelchair ramp on Friday the 19th of March. This was a really different story that came through my inbox this week.
Mm.
Now, Dave, who has, I think it's pronounced atheoid cerebral palsy, describes himself as more of a sit-down than stand-up comedian, more than happy to make light of things that set him apart. Providing a big source of inspiration for his comedy, Dave's cerebral palsy reminds him to use a motorised wheelchair full-time, requires him to use a motorised wheelchair full-time to get out and about. Until recently, the biggest barrier to Dave's career has been simply getting in and out of venues, with most comedy clubs around the country not being wheelchair accessible, often meaning that Dave has to be carried up onto the stage to his gigs. Now, the comedy community has rallied in support of ensuring access for performers and punters alike, with the Humorous Arts Trust investing thousands in a portable ramp that can be used around the Wellington region. Dave's birthday gig will be one of the first times the ramp will be in action, making performing remarkably easier for this hilarious and often downright filthy comic since he launched his career in 2016. The ramp is just one of many ways that the Wellington comedy scene is growing in its commitment to accessibility and diversity, elevating talented voices and simply hilarious stories to make sure we can all share a laugh together without boundaries. Wellington's Raw Comedy Quest has seen many comedians from different backgrounds share the stage together, several of whom will feature in the lineup for the special and newly accessible gigs from March. Now, all tickets and info, and if you want to support this great cause, head to wellingtoncomedy.co.nz.
And New Zealand theatre royalty Tina Cross joins magical new production of Wicked. Something Wicked This Way Comes, flying into Sky City Theatre for a limited season in September 2021. North Shore Music Theatre are set to take Auckland audience on a swankified journey to the Emerald City and back again in Wicked the Musical. The Kiwi theatre royalty Tina Cross bringing her own brand of magic to the stage. The second highest grossing musical in Broadway history, Wicked tells the incredible untold story of two girls who first meet as sorcery students, the blonde and very popular Glinda and the misunderstood green girl named Alphaba. Alphaba being played by Heather Wilcox, who of course has played this role in the Christchurch season with Showbiz Christchurch a couple of years ago. Their extraordinary adventures in Oz will ultimately see them fulfil their destinies as Glinda the Good and Alphaba the Wicked Witch of the West. Starring as Madame Morrible, the teacher who sets them each on their paths towards their respective destinies, is New Zealand's theatre legend and North Shore Music Theatre patron Tina Cross. And tickets are on sale currently at iticket.co.nz.
Looking forward to that one. Now, we've got a competition up on our Facebook and Instagram, Emma.
We sure have. So for those of you that were listening in last week and heard Rebecca from Impoverished, which is improvised, see, no one ever pronounces it right. She told us that. Anyway, has random fairy tale creator coming up this weekend at Nathan Homestead and then again at Pump House Theatre. So we have a competition for two tickets running on our Instagram and Facebook page. Make sure you've liked us, Kick Arts, and Impoverished on Instagram. Tag in a friend that you would take and say which location you would like to go to, and we'll be drawing those tickets midday Wednesday.
Excellent. And if you've got something to promote, make sure you send us an email. And, you know, we're a great believer of dobbing people in. If there's someone you know that's doing something awesome out there in any form in the arts, send us an email to kickarts1@gmail.com. Obviously, with the festivals all starting to wind up soon, then we have the Auckland Arts Festival, then Comedy Festival, I believe, later in the year.
Yeah, they said not till October.
So, you know, we have some gaps coming up. So come on and promote your wonderful arts and events.
Definitely.
So you mentioned it earlier tonight, remembering Christchurch tomorrow. Hard to believe 10 years have gone by since that second big quake that took place in February, 12:51 p.m. tomorrow. There is a wonderful memorial service taking place down in Christchurch tomorrow and a moment's silence at 12:51. Just, yeah, 10 years. Doesn't quite seem like it.
I know. And I have to say that when I saw that Porirua had been shook last night, for a second, I was like, oh, no, surely not.
Mm.
So thank goodness it was only a small one.
Yeah, absolutely. And, James, you're a teacher in a college. So how are the arts faring in a college setting?
I think one of the trickiest things about the past 12 months, since we're coming up to sort of a year since our first New Zealand lockdown, is that all the extras around the school year and school day are the first to go. As soon as restrictions come in. And
is it because you've got to play catch up?
Well, that, but also because of the crowd restrictions. Suddenly you have to stay in your classroom bubble, and all the after school, the weekends, basically all the fun extra stuff gets cancelled straight away. So the arts go out the door very, very quickly.
Yeah, it's a shame, eh, when we have so many guests come on and talk about how the arts make a difference in these challenging times.
Well, I think that's where too, I mean, as earlier in the year after that first lockdown with Professor Peter O'Connor's Te Rito Toi, you know, that was downloaded by 250,000 people used worldwide, which is now being redeveloped to look at using arts for trauma. So it's not just going to be related to COVID. It's now going to be able to, it's being changed so it can be picked up after any kind of traumatic,
right,
you know. It just shows that the arts are the perfect way to walk people back through what has gone on before. And I mean, even what Elizabeth was saying before brings to light the fact here she's using the arts as part of her recovery journey, you know, and I think that it's something that can be used in all forms.
One of the hardest things about the arts, though, is it involves others. You know, that's the beauty of it, the physical connection, the being with others. And when you come to a health pandemic and you've got to keep distance and you've got to stay away, like, I really feel for the art and drama teachers who have had to teach through Zoom.
Emma, tell us about it.
Oh, how hard is it to engage a class who are in their own bubbles, in their own bedrooms?
So, I've seen some really amazing stuff, though, I have to say, through my junior theatre connections. The amount of American companies that are doing their musicals still on Zoom, the amazing ways that theatre companies have come up with ways to incorporate their masks into their costumes has, I saw some beautiful water sprites in Moana Junior, and their masks had all been made to match their costumes, you know, and after a few minutes of watching it, you actually forget that they've got masks on, and their eyes are so bright, but it is really amazing to see all over the rest of the world how they're getting on with still doing
it. Well, was it Sutton Foster this week that's releasing one of her musicals she's working on at the moment? She's just going completely online, and, you know, we had Auckland Theatre Company do a fabulous version of that last year. So, yeah, there are ways, but there is no question what you miss online is that interaction, that ability to move someone, see their faces, get the laughter, get the applause. So that must be tough.
And there's something very odd about being in a theatre that's spaced out. As an audience.
Especially if it's comedy.
Yeah, that you sort of miss that sort of crowded vibe that you're in and you laugh together. And yeah, being distanced and spaced is just a little bit odd in an audience.
How have you found your students have coped with the last year?
Well, I think young people are the most resilient. And they get up a lot quicker than I think sometimes adults do. It's really lovely being a teacher because school's often the thing that you have to do. And it was really lovely coming back from the lockdowns, a real excitement to be back at school. And I think it's one of those things, you don't know what you got until it's gone. Until you're not allowed to be at school, you kind of miss it. So it was really lovely, even the 3 days last week, just a little reminder of what it was like. But also to be able to come back on Thursday was really nice.
I think it's great to be reminded as well that sometimes we were getting a little bit complacent. I know myself that... I still can't get the Bluetooth to work on my app, so even though I've downloaded and reloaded and all sorts. But, if the sign's not really obvious, I totally forget to app in and trace, you know. Yeah,
the hand sanitizers come out again. I've seen more masks on.
It's a good refresh. Yeah. Although I tried to download the COVID tracer poster this morning for a new rehearsal group, and the site was down for the whole weekend, said it won't be back up till Monday, and I thought that's the sort of stuff that shouldn't be happening when we're trying to encourage people.
I love to. I was one of the people that didn't know what Hillary about Hillary Barry's tip last week.
Yeah.
I had no idea. James, do you know what we're talking about?
No.
So when you go in and you trace in and then there's a little finish at the bottom, you're not meant to tap the finish until you're leaving that building, because then it tells you when you went in and when you left, and that's how they know.
Because everyone shops for different lengths. You could be just getting a coffee, not going in for a 1 hour shop at Countdown, and that person may have arrived 30 minutes in, so why be a close contact if you don't need to be? Yeah, it makes sense.
So you hit the finish, not straight away, you code in, and then it's the finish once you're leaving.
That's my goal for the week now, then. I'll start doing that.
That's your mission.
And theatre companies, etc., especially community theatres out there, make sure you're keeping a good register of who's in your building and the comings and goings, because I think sometimes in community things, it's sometimes forgotten about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, James, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Unfortunately, you only got to review one show, but hopefully we'll have you back soon with a few others. We've got Sharon back next week doing some book reviews because she's been busy reading, and another very full studio next week.
Fantastic.
You got a busy week?
Yeah, it is quite busy. Things are definitely starting to ramp up, and we've got a few exciting announcements coming for Stage Antics, so that's great.
Cool, watch the space. I'm on Property Matters tomorrow afternoon at 4:15 here on Planet FM, and we're interviewing Peter Thompson to look back on his 40 years at Barfoot & Thompson. We're going to go out now with the group Flora Falls that we chatted about at the start of the show. Here's their single, Wake Up. Have a fabulous week, and make sure you
kick some arts.
Starts to fade.